Now listen again.
We are all familiar with the idea of the tortured genius, and science has begun to prove a link to this age-old belief. Dr. James McKay with the Institute of Psychiatry, King's College London, has found a link between high intelligence and psychiatric disorders. Dr. McKay conducted his research in Sweden, describing it as a paradise for epidemiologists because of the detail in Swedish records, linking a person's health and education records with their social security number. He found that individuals with excellent school performance had a nearly fourfold increased risk of having bipolar disorder compared to those with average grades. Interestingly, students with the poorest grades were also moderately at risk of having the bipolar disorder. My first question is, what are manic depression, bipolar and schizophrenia, and what is the link between the three?
Well, manic depression actually is a kind of old term for bipolar disorder, so they're essentially the same thing. The definition of the illness has slightly changed over time, but essentially it's the same thing. Interestingly, there are some people who suffer from what's now called bipolar disorder who actually prefer the term manic depression because they feel that it describes their disorder better, because it emphasises the fact that they suffer from depression for some of the time and for mania for other parts of the time.
And presumably bipolar means because if there was a spectrum, they're on polar opposite?
That's right. The reason for the term bipolar is to refer to the two poles of the illness. So those are mania on the one hand, which is when your mood is very elated and you're often very creative and excited, and often people don't need to sleep very much when they're in that state. And then at the other end of the scale is depression, and we all sort of think we know what it feels like to be depressed, but people with bipolar disorder or manic depression have a much more severe form of depression than most of us would be used to, with profound sleep disturbance, with loss of appetite. And they feel they have no energy. And the sort of third pole, if you like, or the third state is being of a level mood, sort of somewhere in the middle. And so the goal of treatment for bipolar disorder is to try and maximise the amount of time that people spend in that middle range when most people find that they're functioning the best.
Okay. And what about the third one, schizophrenia?
Schizophrenia, it's a separate disorder from manic depression and bipolar disorder, but it is probably genetically related. Particularly, some of the more recent work has shown that there's quite an overlap genetically between the two disorders. And so you can have families where there are some people with bipolar disorder and others with schizophrenia. The difference between bipolar and schizophrenia is that bipolar is primarily a mood disorder. Schizophrenia, the person's mood is not usually affected, or if it is, it's not the primary problem. The primary problem with schizophrenia is that the person suffers from delusions, which means that they have fixed false beliefs, which are often of a paranoid nature, so people might believe that there are people following them, for example, or people targeting them.
How many people suffer from manic depression?
The definition, actually, of manic depression has, as I said earlier, undergone some changes recently, and particularly in America. There's been a move recently to broaden out the criteria for bipolar disorder, thus including more people. But what's traditionally recognised in Europe as bipolar disorder affects about 0.5% to 1% of the population. The main type of bipolar, the kind of core type, is sometimes called type 1 bipolar disorder. There's a newer subtype of bipolar disorder which is more commonly diagnosed in America, which is called type 2 bipolar disorder, and that is a slightly less severe mood swings and also with a predisposition towards depression.
Who does it affect? Who is susceptible to getting manic depression?
Well, the biggest risk factor that we know of by quite a long way is having a family history of bipolar disorder. So that's That's how we know that bipolar disorder is, to some extent, a genetic disorder. If you have an identical twin who has bipolar disorder, then your chance of developing it is about 50%. If you have a non-identical twin, it goes down to about 10 or 12%. And if you have a brother or sister, again, it's about 10%.
So the data has pointed towards both low and high achievers having an increased likelihood of developing manic depression. What differences are exhibited by each group?
And what we found was that people who were in the top, they were actually two standard deviations above the mean, which means they're in about the top 5% of the population. Those people were about four times more likely to develop bipolar disorder than the people with average grades. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, we found that people that were two standard deviations below the mean, in other words, they're in roughly the bottom 5% of the population in their school grades, also had an increased risk of bipolar disorder. Not quite as big, but about a doubling in risk. So this suggests that there are potentially two different mechanisms operating here that are associated with high and low scores. One possibility is that this might reflect the mood state of the children when they were actually taking their exams. So if they had already begun to develop the disorder when they were taking their exams, then you might expect that those who were feeling depressed when they took their exams might have scored poorly, while those who were elated might have done very well. When people get full-blown mania, they are often quite distractible and find it quite difficult to work and constructively. But when people are in a what we call a hypomanic state, they can often achieve very, very great things. And I think that's one of the possibilities for this association that we've found between getting high school grades and having bipolar disorder.
How long can that state last for?
The trouble with that state, I mean, you might think, well, it would be great if people with bipolar disorder could be in that state all the time, and it's probably quite good to be, and of course people enjoy being in that state as well. The trouble is that it does tend to be rather transient, and if somebody does go into a hypomanic state, what will often happen is that their mood will carry on getting higher and higher, and they can then get into a fully manic state, which most people, in retrospect, when they've been in a manic state, they realise that actually it wasn't a very good thing for them, because when people are manic, they're often quite reckless, often spend a lot of money. Sometimes they do things that they later regret, like, for example, being more promiscuous than usual. People often take large quantities of drugs and alcohol when they're in that state.
Why is the link so prominent in the creative arts and not the sciences?
Well, firstly, I don't think that's necessarily true. That there isn't a link in the sciences. There are quite a few examples of people who are very accomplished in the sciences who've also had bipolar disorder. I mean, one example would be the mathematician John Nash, who many people will have heard of because of the film A Beautiful Mind. So he had some very odd beliefs and had a diagnosis of schizophrenia.
But then not manic depression.
No, that's true. Actually, he had a diagnosis of schizophrenia rather than manic depression. But there are examples of scientists with manic depression as well.
This is the end of task one. You now have 2 minutes to check your answers.